Let's hop into it. Episode 2.
Died a little inside.
Yeah.
Right now, just a little. Every time you talk, I die a little inside.
Oh, really? Really? Is that what we want people to know?
Yeah. Well, we said we're laying it all out there, right?
We are.
Yeah. Yes, we'll talk about hops today.
Yeah, let's talk about hops. That's why he's cringing, is... Thought I said that before I turned on my recorder, but no, that's...
Yeah.
We're talking about hops.
You said the quiet part loud. Yeah. Yeah, but specifically hop growing for home brewers and very, very, very high level, because obviously we've only got 20 minutes or so that we're going to talk about this.
If you know us from the other stuff that we do, we go very, very deep into hops on the other podcasts. So it's going to be a little tricky for us, I think, to back up and talk extremely high level, but we will give it a try. And if you have questions about the high level, please get them over to us through our website. We're happy to go a bit deeper.
And obviously you've got the entire Hopnology catalog of podcasts.
Yes.
If you really want a 2-hour diatribe on plant physiology of photosynthesis, and it's there.
And who doesn't? Who doesn't, really?
Who doesn't,
Merry
really,
Christmas to all of you.
it's there. Oh, we've got that. If you want to understand the difference between, you know, what phytochrome does in photoperiod light-dark system, it's there too. So knock yourself out. But that's not what we're going to talk about here. We're going to talk about just how to unpack all of the big hairy bullshit that's out there around hop growing and what you're supposed to do and how you're supposed to do it. This will be a recurring theme, I think. Mm-hmm. We'll just have to keep coming back to it because there's just too much to talk about. But we're going to keep it high level.
Sure, high level. So when you go buy materials for your homebrew, you get a little baggie of pellets.
Mm-hmm.
Don't put them in your pellet stove at home or put them in your rabbit cage because, you know, they look similar to everything else.
Yeah. Oh, God. Burning hops are awful. Mm-hmm. Just awful. I don't recommend that to anyone.
Is this when I get to talk about my wood pellet grill and we shouldn't?
No, our other podcast.
It never even dawned on me, instead of, you know, hickory, to actually put hop, you know, put some Cascade in there and see what happens to my brisket.
No one will want to eat it.
Wow. Never even. That just sounds hideous. Okay.
Good. It should. Anybody ever do that. So let's talk about hops for the homebrewer, growing them yourself. And the single biggest difference in anything that you as a homebrewer and backyard brew farm grower need to keep in mind when you're sifting through all of this hyperbole around how to grow hops is that most of the stuff you're going to read online is either geared towards yield and small commercial scale production, or it's just a bunch of wives' tales. And so we're going to be here to dispel the wives' tales and to boil down the really important parts of the small scale commercial stuff for you to understand. You're not interested in
yield. Was boiling down a homebrew joke? Is that what you were doing?
It was, yeah. Okay. See what I did there?
Yep.
Yeah. So as a home brewer and a home grower, you're only concerned about quality, frankly. I mean, you obviously want enough to brew with, but are you going to be concerned about what your pounds per square foot are? No, you don't. You're going to be concerned about, am I going to get enough of these hops off my plant to make beer out of? Yes, you will. We'll get you there. You have a much bigger luxury as a backyard hop grower than a commercial grower does, because you can focus solely on quality. So what if you get paper bag full of hops and that's all you get? Who cares? But if they're the best, that's what matters. Mm-hmm. So what does it take to get the best? I think that's what we should talk about.
Sounds good to me. It can't be that hard to get the best. I mean, it's not really a high bar, is it?
Oh, no, not at all. Absolutely not, no.
Episode 2, you're promising them the best. Way to set the level.
Absolutely. Yep, no problem. Well, hey, man, go big or go home.
Mm-hmm. Well, they are home. This is about backyard home brewing.
This is true. They're probably in the basement right now listening to this on the earbuds or something.
I'm in the basement. Uh-huh. Nothing wrong with the basement.
There's nothing wrong with the basement. It's private down here. Mm-hmm. So for backyard home growers, you're going to likely be looking at I know these things grow tall, so how do I get them to grow tall? Or do I even need to get them to grow tall? Can I have them grow along my deck? Or can I have them grow along a fence? Or do I even need a trellis? Or should I string them all the way up to my eaves and have them be 30 feet tall? For home growers, keep it simple. Hops do want to grow vertically. So keep that in mind. If you've got them growing horizontally, they're going to produce mostly leaves and few flowers. Now, granted, James, you just said that I'm not after yield, I'm after quality. Oh yeah, I know that. But the plant's going to produce so much foliage if it's growing horizontally, it's going to create a really dense canopy that's totally ripe for disease. So odds are you're going to have problems with mildew and insects if you have too much foliage there. So you really do want to get them growing mostly vertical.
And I want to point out something that you said there, and I mentioned earlier that we're used to going very deep here. You just mentioned you want flowers. Hop cones are flowers, in case you're not aware of that, because I think it's worth pointing out, don't you?
They are the female flower. Mm-hmm. Technically, it's an inflorescence called a strobile.
Oh, boy.
And just like a pine cone is a strobile. That's why they call them hop cones, because they resemble pine cones. Mm-hmm. It's a strobile. So under every one of those little scales, those leaves, is a flower.
Yep.
Or a nectar area, or that's where the ovary is.
I'm trying to head off at the pass the questions on this episode of, I've got leaves and hop cones. I'm not seeing any of these flowers you're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. They start off as burrs, and when they're in, we call burr stage, they look like tiny little burrs that stick to your pants, like if you're out tromping through the woods or through a field. That's the female flower. There are males and female plants are different, so you don't get males and females on the same plant. Asterisk. you can, because I see it all the time on homebrew forums where somebody's growing hops and they've got male and female on the same plant, and that's called a hermaphrodite. That happens under periods of environmental stress, usually heat and or drought stress, but we're not going to go that route yet. So yep, so flowers, the cones are flowers. They're the mature female inflorescence, and that's what we're after. Males do produce flowers. They're teeny tiny. They're about the size of a pea individually. Keep the boys away from the girls. Mm-hmm. We don't want that. We don't want your cones pollinated. They produce seeds. That's bad news.
Yep.
Not the end of the world, but it's something that you want to avoid.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about vertical as opposed to horizontal before I distracted mm-hmm. you.
Yeah.
And it does not mean you need a trellis. You do not need a 25-foot hop trellis in your backyard.
You need something for it to grow up.
Yes.
Let's put it that way. So if you define a trellis as something upon which a plant will grow, then yes, you do.
Yes.
But can that trellis be a single pole that the thing is going to climb up, or a single piece of twine string that is going to crawl up? Sure. Mm-hmm. But do you need this contraption that you see on the internet that's 50 feet long and 20 feet tall and got a bunch of plants growing up it? You might, if that is the solution for you. Or you're going to string it up, like I said, from the ground up to the overhang on your roof, and you're going to grow them that way. One way or the other, ideally for quality's sake, you need to get them growing vertically.
Yep, got to go up. But mm-hmm. you know, you'll hear us laughingly refer to deck hops. It's a thing, growing them up your deck.
Yeah. Yep. Or people will want to have this, literally a trellis, like you would see like a pergola or something. And they want to grow hops out over that, sort of like this big drapey thing like you might do with wisteria. And you'd be like, oh, I can just go up there and harvest my hop cones from that. You can do whatever you want.
Mm-hmm. Oh, boy. There he goes with that one. Mm-hmm.
Your quality is likely going to be very, very poor. Again, because the foliage density is too high, which is going to cause disease problems, mostly fungal disease problems. If you haven't realized this by now, hops are disease magnets. Mm-hmm.
The other problem you can have when you're growing them up the side of your house, your deck, whatever, are marital problems. So I would
yes.
make sure whoever lives in that house with you has agreed to this, because they can take over.
Well, let's face it, Greg, we're talking to homebrewers here. So your spouse or significant other, you already have. This is already a stressor point.
Yes, that's fair.
In your relationship, you don't want to add to it. Mm-hmm. So let's just keep that in mind. Hop plants can get very big. Obviously, they'll grow and grow and grow 25, 30 feet if you let them. ideally, the ideal height for hop plant for good production and good quality is going to be in that 18-foot range. Can you go beyond that? Yes. Can you go less than that? Absolutely. But the plant's going to be happiest, at least our modern varieties, modern bred varieties, going to be happiest about that, at about that height. And you want to make sure that you've got serious direct sunlight. Any reduction in, let's say, 8 hours of intense direct sunlight during the growing season is going to cause you significant growth problems. So you may end up having problems getting enough yield to do anything with, if that's the case. So you want direct 8 hours worth of sun during the growing season. You want them to grow, you know, be able to grow, let's just say, between 16 and 20 feet comfortably, and be able to have something to grow up and twine themselves around. That's it.
Easy.
That's what you need. Yeah. That's what you need for infrastructure. The other critical aspects, hops are hogs for food. So fertilizer and water and light. We talked about the light and the 8 hours of sunlight, but they need irrigated. You're going to have to give these plants water if you want them to produce quality. Otherwise, they're going to be stressed and the chemistry in the cone is going to be off. So your quality is not going to be there. They may look great. They may look lovely green, not a spot on them, but the cone chemistry is not going to be there. So you have to give this plant everything that it wants in order to have it produce the optimal quality cone for harvest. So that means making sure it's got enough water and making sure it's got enough food. Mm-hmm. And the food has to come at the right time. You can give it all the Miracle-Gro or whatever you want leading up to flowering. But once it starts putting out those little burrs I talked about earlier, little female immature flowers, stop. You're done fertilizing. No more fertilizer. Because it's not going to help the plant any to be more productive or to improve quality. And B, you're actually likely to screw up the cone chemistry by giving it too much fertilizer after it's flowered.
Huh. And that's interesting because to me, that's very counterintuitive.
Mm-hmm. You've already missed the boat. Mm-hmm. If you're not fertilizing until it flowers, you missed a boat. Whatever you get this year, be happy for, and hopefully it's good enough quality to use. But if you're after quality, that's what you need to do. You need to be looking at fertilizing. Usually when they're about 2 to 3 feet tall, you can start fertilizing them, and then I'd fertilize them with like Miracle-Gro or some water-soluble fertilizer once a week until they flower. And then you're done.
And then you've got your own hops. Your own whole cone hops, let's be clear, because you're probably extremely used to getting those pellets. You're not going to pelletize them yourself.
No.
Not by any stretch.
Nor will you find someone to pelletize them on your behalf when you show up with a maybe 5 pounds of dried hops. That's just not going to happen. So whole cone is the way to go. Figuring out when it's time to harvest is a whole freaking series of podcasts. So we're going to get to that later. Yeah. This single episode is not meant to give you everything you need to know about backyard hop growing. These plants, when they come up out of the ground in the spring, if they come up very, very early in North America, you really don't want those hops to be trained and crawling up the twine until usually sometime in the mid-May range. So a lot of you who are listening are much further south. I'm in south central Wisconsin. Greg's in Connecticut. So we're much further north than many of you probably are listening. So what do? Your hops are coming up out of the ground. They're going nuts in March, maybe even April. And what do? Just snip them off. Don't let them go up the twine or whatever your trellis of choice is. Just snip them off. They will self-train if you let them, and you don't really want to do that. You want to get something trained usually in the mid-May time frame. That's going to do a lot of things from a physiology standpoint that we don't necessarily need to go into here, but just know that it's going to optimize both your quantity and your quality if you are looking right around that mid-May time frame for training.
And let's define training.
Okay, it's taking that vine and making sure it's twirled around the twine or whatever it is that you want it to crawl up. And that's clockwise. They only twine, twirl, wind clockwise. If you do it the other way, it's going to unwind itself. Mm-hmm. So
they're smart.
They're smart, and they're It's the growing tip is following the sun diurnally, so that's why it's doing that. But
and a little vindictive as well as smart. You know, you're trying to train me that way. I don't think so,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, I'm gonna go and unwind myself. Mm. Yes, and you want that growing tip to be healthy. If that growing tip gets snapped off, that bind is done. It's not going to grow vertically any further. It might put out a sidearm. So sidearms are where the flowers ultimately grow. In your first few years, you may get flower clusters forming on the main bind. And notice we're saying bind, B-I-N-E. Hops are not vines with a V. They're binds with a B as in boy. Vines have tendrils and suckers and other things that they stick to the sides of your house with. Binds twist to climb. So sidearms form off of the main bind, the main stem that's growing up, and they'll be, well, they look like sidearms. That's exactly what they're like. They'll be sprouts that come out, and ultimately that's where you want your flowers to form. In the first few years of growing, your flower clusters may form off the main bind, but if you're not getting sidearm formation, that usually means your nutrient levels aren't right, you're not fertilizing enough, you don't have the right amount of light. Can you still make good cones? You bet. Are you going to make a lot of them? Probably not. You really need those sidearms to be growing. If you get a tip break off, a growing point break off on your main bind and you have sidearms, just take one of those and train it manually on the twine and it'll take off and go up and continue its quote normal growth habit at that point. Harvest timing. Yeah. Oof. That's a whole nother story.
Yep.
And there's all kinds of wives' tales. Oh, when they feel papery or when they start to open up or when they start to do this or when they start to do that. What are you going to use these things for? If you're going to use them for bittering, for alpha, then you're going to have to get them tested, period. Now, thankfully, there's a lot more testing labs around the country that will do alpha acid analysis than there were 10 years ago. So we could talk about that later. But that's something that you're going to look into. If you're using them for aroma, that's a different story. Then you don't really care what the alphas are. You don't have to go through that. You're really trying to target the right timing for harvest. We will talk about that later. But that is the single most critical part of the growing season for determining hop cone quality, aroma quality, is determining harvest timing.
Yep. And it's such an it depends situation. It's not like there's a grid out there that says, for this variety, harvest it the third week of August. You know, it's just every season is different. Your location is different. The varieties are different. It's much more about observation than it is about a quick chart somewhere. If you're doing this off of a quick chart somewhere, you're doing it wrong.
You are. You're doing yourself a big disservice. The varieties are broken into like early, mid, late season. So you can kind of get this idea that, like to say Nugget, which is a later season variety, is always going to harvest before a Centennial, which is a mid-season, or a Saaz, which is like an early season variety, or Tettnanger. If you get those screwed around, you're like, oh no, my Nugget always harvests before my Tets. You probably got something screwed up, as in you're not growing what you think you're growing, which happens all the time. Just chuckling because I get those questions. People are like, oh no, my Nugget are great. They always harvest in July. Or no,
those are
they don't.
They're not Nugget.
They're not Nugget. They're something else. yeah. So you're gonna assume that we're gonna hit the nail on the head for harvest timing. Then what are you gonna do with these things? They're wet. Mm-hmm. And do you use wet hops? You can. Absolutely, you can. You can use wet hops in your brewing. Sure. But they're gonna not be wet for long, because they're going to rot or they're going to dry. So then what are you going to do? Well, I'm going to preserve these things. Can I freeze them? Like freeze them wet? Sure. Go for it. Vacuum pack them first. Suck as much air out as you possibly can. Get yourself one of those little food savers, or Ron Popeil probably makes something that you can just, you know, suck all the air out with and seal it in plastic. Toss it in the freezer. Absolutely you can do that. Will they be as good in February as they are in August at harvest? Probably not, for a lot of chemistry reasons that I won't go into. But yeah, you can absolutely do that. Drying them first would be better. This is the point where we say you can screw it all up in 30 minutes or less. And we'll talk about how to dry in future episodes, how to keep it simple, what to look for. You want to keep it simple. I know everybody wants to get all excited about building contraptions and tinkering and trying to MacGyver the hell out of this, but you really don't have to, because you're likely going to do more damage than you're going to do help. Yeah, that's it. That's all you need to know to grow hops successfully in the backyard. No. Gosh. We just wanted to give you a primer on all the different little things that we can get into here, topics to maximize your potential for success as a backyard beer farmer.
Yep, and to open it up to experimentation. If it's something you've never done before, but you've always wondered, we will get into each of those pieces of the puzzle in more detail. It's such a great opportunity to use your own ingredients in what you're doing.
Every time you talk, I die a little inside.